George, your career is so long and so varied, it's difficult really to know where to start. But I suppose we should start with the first big film role, which was in The Dambusters. Did you at the time think this is going to be the start of something big?
Not quite. They put me under contract at Associated British Pictures to do The Dambusters. So, in a funny way, I expected it. And I made about 14 or 15 pictures straight away. And then in 4 years. And then television came along. And in the next few years, I think I did something like 96 titles in Armchair Theatre, Play of the Month, Wednesday Play.
Quite an experience.
Yes, a great experience.
Now, I have to ask you, is it true that Ian Fleming really did want you to be James Bond?
Yes. I was having lunch at the Mirabelle with my head of studio, Robert Clark, and Ian Fleming came over. And he said, now, there you are, Robert. Buy the books and make the films, and there is your James Bond sitting there. And Robert made the classic remark. He said, Ian, they're good books, but they'll no make films.
One of the biggest howlers in the film industry. Now, be honest, when you've watched the films, have you sat there and thought, I could do that?
No. No, it certainly would have changed my life. And I'm not sure that I wanted my life changed.
Mm.
I do always find it amusing that I dubbed 16 reels of George Lazenby's.
So you have been Bond.
I have been Bond.
Yes. You have also been the envy of an awful lot of men because you dated Brigitte Bardot.
Oh, yes. Yes, we did, yes. This incident happened that a fellow fell in beside me. I said, I hate you. And I thought, thanks. Why? And he said, Brigitte Bardot is all I have to say to you, and marched on.
She was very beautiful, wasn't
she? She was very beautiful. She was very beautiful.
But you must have thought you were very lucky at the time.
Yes. Not a great episode in my life. It was a bit naughty altogether, because I was married. Mind you, if you're going to cheat, you may as well cheat with Brigitte Bardot.
Go for the top. Go for it.
Yeah.
The other thing about you, which I absolutely love, is that you're a great cook. You love cooking, don't
you? Yes, I do.
Well, knowing what a great cook you are, George, I can't wait to try some of that wonderful fish pate of yours. But I know that Paul is going to be cracking the whip, so I think we'd better get back to work, don't you?
Yeah.
Whilst Paul weighs up our chances of reaching the charity total, I've got a few questions for our detective duo. Did you two know each other before you started working on Wexford, Christopher?
We didn't. No, we'd never met before. So it was a new relationship.
It was.
The thing is, you're a great partnership, not just on screen, but off screen as well.
It's a mysterious sort of chemistry, actually, why you get on with some people and not with others. But I think John Davies, who originally cast it, obviously had a very good eye for that, because he also cast
Louis
Ramsey
as
Dora Wexford, your wife, and that certainly led to something.
Well, Louis, of course, went on to be not just your Mrs. Wexford on screen, but Mrs. George Baker as well.
It was a very, very happy, I think probably the most happy time in work that I've ever had.
Yes, it was delightful, and a lovely crew, and it was a really big, just a big family.
Yeah, and Ruth Rendell, of course, was a presence on the set and became very good friends, didn't she?
We still are very great friends. I very much enjoyed her work, and I adapted some of them. The other day she was interviewed, and she said on the television, and I think the best adapted of my books were adapted by George Baker.
Fantastic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
How
wonderful.
Yes, wasn't that nice?
Yes.
George, tell me a bit about this charity that you started in the village. How did that start?
Well, it started about 18 years ago, one winter, and we have two bus shelters here in the town. And as I drove past, I noticed that my outside temperature gauge read -5, and one of the bus stations was absolutely full of young people huddled together trying to keep warm. And I thought, this actually can't be right. And we started the youth club. And it was not very auspicious in its beginnings. but is gently grown.
But you've gone even further than that, because you've actually built a proper youth hall now,
yes,
haven't you?
Yes, we have.
So we're hoping that we're going to raise at least £700.
Yes, that would be nice, because it takes a lot to run.
What I have to do now is ask you both to go back into police mode and go and search, not for evidence, but for things that we can take to auction. Interview concluded.
Very good.
It's fascinating to hear how the world of Wexford was brought to life. George is so passionate about his involvement with the youth club, we'll certainly be looking to make a decent sum for them on the day. Paul's inspection of the premises continues in the library, whilst George turns up this selection of goodies from his career. He might not like keeping personal memorabilia, but this signed autobiography and collection of photos should make £20 to £30. The day's almost over, but it looks like we may have one more item for auction, and she's looking a bit windswept.
Well, you can't really miss her, can you, George? What's the story behind her?
Well, she was in the Dublin exhibition of 1912 when my Irish uncle got her, and then my Irish aunt gave her to me. So she's been in the family for since 1912.
And she's an electric lamp.
Hello. How are you? Oh, look at that.
What do you make of this then, Paul?
Well, that's incredible, isn't it? What a beautiful piece. There we are. We have an artist's signature here. Jay Kanye, have you researched it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, but it's all been done by hand. It's an actual sculpture. This isn't a cheap thing. This is actually somebody's made this from scratch.
So it's not come out of a mould?
No, not come out of a mould. No, this is actually somebody's work of art.
I tell you what I find extraordinary, that he's made it into an electric lamp. Because
yes,
presumably that's how it was made originally, mm-hmm, because there's no doubt that, you know, she's got this parasol in her hand,
yeah,
and there's a little light bulb.
Yes, but what you've got here is a mark. This is a patent mark from France on the bottom here, which means that the artist has patented it, so nobody else can make a copy of it. So it's unique, it's a one-off. You've got to remember, this dates from 1890, 1900. Lots of imitations were started to be made in the Far East and by unscrupulous factories. And so he was saying, this is my work, you're not copying this, this is down to me, how many of these actually get made.
I have to tell you, Angela, that I was very nearly one of those unscrupulous...
Were you really?
Because when I got it, I did enjoy it very, very much indeed.
Mm.
And I wondered whether I should make little statuettes of it and sell them off in the Portobello, you know.
Well, I think that... what was his name? Jacques?
Corvier, I think it was. Corvier.
He'd have been after you.
He would, yes.
He would have been after me.
Do we know much about him?
I don't know anything about the artist, no, but the sign really is, the style is Art Nouveau.
Yes.
And it rises in the year 1900. It was a great rebellion, really, of anything that was mass-produced. So you would get these sculptures that would make these things by hand. You know, they didn't use any machine work. They would spend hours and hours doing them. And the end results are one-off pieces, and it's fabulous.
Well, you're all salivating over her.
Yeah.
How much do we think she might make if she went to auction?
Well, as an unknown artist, I mean, if I said around the £500 mark...
Good Lord.
Between £400 and £600, yeah. How does that sound?
Yes, it's music to my ear.
Excellent.
It's cheaper the price.
It is.
You've got more than that.
I think we've got a buyer.
We have already. Excellent.
Actually, I've got even better news than that for you, because we are way over our target on Paul's estimates.
Great.
I was very tempted to look at my watch and say, what time is it? Oh, it's 12:30. Because 12:30, £1,230 is what we think we might make at auction.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yep, that'll do us.
And more if we can make it.
Yeah.
If we don't make that, do you make it up after your vacation?
No, 12:30, I thought it was time for lunch.